Hello and welcome to Word of Mom Radio Network. This is Renee from Renee Live subbing in for Dori DiCarlo. Today we have Sina on with her awesome show. She's a mompreneur mentor, a coach and author and sanity saver for startup to somewhat successful mom entrepreneurs on a mission. If you want to reclaim your time, space and sanity and make two things true at once, awesome mom plus entrepreneur Sina can help you do that. For more information, check out her fabulous website at sanespaces.com. That's SanesPaces.com. And sign up to receive your free video training program and workbook, Sanity Strategies to Rescue Mompreneur Superheroes. It's specially designed for overworked, stressed out moms on a mission. Hello, Sina.
Hello, Renee. Thank you for the intro.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's a long one, isn't it?
It is a long one, but it's good.
Well, you know, we're constantly tweaking all these things in the world of entrepreneurship. So, you know, it's funny to listen to it. I'm like, oh, man, that's pretty long. But it's all true, so that's good.
Well, that's all that matters, you know, and who cares if it's long, you know? If it's attention-seeking and gets people's attention, that's what matters.
That's a good thing. So thank you for being here with us. And I know Dori is away. She has a little family matter to attend to, and so I'm so glad that we have some backup. It's one of the things I think we're going to talk about specifically today with our show on, you know, how to get virtual assistants and truly how is it that we can create some redundancies and cover ourselves as solopreneurs and mompreneurs in case of emergencies.
Exactly, and it's very important too, you know, and that virtual network is extremely important, you know, because, I mean, a lot of the things we do is on the internet, and, you know, when we need that help, especially in cases with an emergency or anything like that, it's always nice to know that you have somebody there for you to help you to carry on what you can't do at that moment.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, I definitely work with my coaching clients because a lot of people, you know, stay in fear and don't do things. A lot of mompreneurs specifically stay away from things that are going to tie them down to a schedule because they always need that flexibility. You know, if the nurse calls and you got to go run out and blah, blah, blah. So it's something that we really work around and create contingency plans here and there and always have some emergency backup stuff for those times when, you know, the business requires your full attention.
Exactly. And it is important. It is definitely important. I know that there's been times with me that I've had to reschedule appointments at the last minute because I've had to go get my children from school, you know.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things.
It's one of my favorite things actually about working with my clientele because, you know, we completely get the flexibility. We get the, you know, the kid runs in and needs, you know, some help in the kitchen or whatever. So, you know, I was just talking to one of my clients the other day, and her daughter, her little toddler, was just noisy, noisy, noisy in the background. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't worry about it. If you want to reschedule, we can reschedule. But, you know, just having that space. I remember when I was in corporate and my kids were really small, if I had a conference call, it was mortifying to have my child peep in the background. So very different, you know, in today's workplace, I think.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Because, you know, you're trying so hard and you know, you want to stay at home because you want to be there for your children. And the cost of daycare anymore is absolutely outrageous. And many women are working for the cost of the daycare, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so to be at home, it's so important to be able to be at home and be a mom, be there for your kids, but yet continue working.
And contributing financially.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that's a goal for a lot of women nowadays.
Well, it's a great segue and setup for my wonderful show host today or show guest, I'm sorry. You're the host, right? Got that mixed up. So my guest, I'm so excited. I had a little breakdown in my originally scheduled guest, and, you know, I am a fan of everything happens for a reason. I really think that is true. And thank God, at the final hour, the last minute, my friend Janet Barclay was available. So I'd love to introduce you to Janet. She's the owner of Organized Assistant, and she that is basically a virtual assistant service. She specializes in blogging and WordPress. And I know Janet through my affiliations with my professional organizer friends through NAPO, National Association of Professional Organizers. Janet has been supporting the professional growth of other virtual assistants since 2008. She is the founder and director of the Golden Horseshoe Virtual Assistants Group. So she has a whole group of people that she's responsible for, and she does a lot of fun things on the side, and she runs a blog for organizers and so forth. In her free time, she loves reading, she walks her dogs, she's a photographer, and she's a chef, and she loves watching movies. So Janet Barclay, welcome.
Thank you.
Are you there? Can we hear you?
I'm here, and it's great to be here.
Well, I so appreciate you pitch hitting for us, and I'm so excited that you're joining in. Why don't you tell everybody who's listening in a little bit about you and how you got started in the virtual assistants world?
Okay. Well, it was kind of a long and winding road. I guess we've got enough time. I actually was working as an employment counselor. And I decided to take the training for the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. I thought it would be something useful to have on my resume. It's a personality assessment. And when I took the course, I was so excited learning about personality type. I didn't want it just to be a qualification on my resume. I wanted to do something with it right away. And one of the aspects that intrigued me the most was the way that the personality type whatever personality type you have, which you're born with generally, it shapes your relationship with space and time. So it ties in with organizing and time management. And I thought, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a side business helping people to better organize their lives using their personality type. So that's how I started off as a professional organizer. It was just a part-time thing. I had no intention of it becoming a career. It was just something to do on the side that I would enjoy and bring in a little extra money. And sometime within the first year that I was in business, one of my organizing colleagues asked me to help her put together an electronic newsletter, which is something I had done for my own business. And when I was showing her what to do, she said, "You know what? I don't think I really want to learn this. I'd rather pay somebody. Would you like to do it?" And I thought, oh, yeah, I love this stuff. And then a light went off, and I thought, I love this stuff. Why is this not part of my business? So then I went from just helping people organize with all kinds of things to specializing in business organizing and virtual assisting. And as the VA side of my business grew, I gradually kind of stopped the organizing because I just didn't have time in my schedule to do both. So that's how I got to where I am today.
Well, it's so great because, you know, I talk all the time. A lot of times people will come to me for coaching and they're in that transitional phase. They've put themselves into a certain, you know, business offer or business model, and, you know, they realize that they don't want to do that anymore and they want to do something else. And one of the things that we work through, and this is one thing that I actually, as it's part of the video series that I offer free on my site, but we always talk about expertise. And, you know, it's interesting that our expertise kind of finds us, and then when we launch our business, I think it's really important to bring it all together. And, you know, sounds like you have that story as well.
Yeah, it's been interesting watching it all evolve. And I have nothing to do anymore. You know, I don't work in employment services anymore. I don't use Myers-Briggs anymore. But I still tie in with my background because I have clients who are career professionals. So it's still everything that you do is part of who you are and what you can offer to other people.
Yeah, it's so true. And we're going to have to talk after this show because I've got a new assessment tool that I'm bringing out into the world to help organizers with time and space with different styles. So it's kind of the organizing and time styles assessment that I've been working on with somebody for the past several years. So it's brewing. It's coming. I'll have to chat offline. So, well, thank you for the intro. Tell us a little bit about what distinguishes virtual assistants. Like, maybe a little bit of the history for people, because I think for some people who've never started with virtual assistants, it's a little scary. I think it's a little unknown.
Well, the big difference, I mean, traditionally you would have an assistant working in the office with you and, you know, alongside you, and you give them work and they give it back to you completed. But that's fine if you're working in a corporate office or a small business office. But when you're working from home, you don't necessarily want somebody there. Maybe you're not working traditional hours, so you don't want them, or you don't want them coming into your personal space where you live. Or you just don't have the need for somebody to come in, even say 2 hours every day. Because if you hire an employee, even part-time, you kind of have to give them a schedule,
mm-hmm.
you know, minimum commitment. With a virtual assistant, they're working from their own home office, and they work as many hours as you need. So that could vary. Now, it depends on the VA. Some will only work on a retainer basis. So they would say, okay, you have to commit to 5 hours a month or 40 hours a month or something in between, and your fee that you pay them would be based on that. And you would pay that even if you didn't come up with the work for them. Others will work on just an as-needed basis. So it could be 2 hours this month, 10 hours next month, whatever. Or you know, that there are various pricing models. But the thing is, it's a lot more flexible than hiring an employee.
Yeah, yeah. And the flexibility is something that's kind of a win-win for everybody.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So that brings me to, like, the next question about VAs and so forth. What do you think in terms of, you know, some of the common mistakes that entrepreneurs make with hiring VAs? Can you give us any, you know, set the stage for the people who are struggling right now and what their mistakes might be that they could solve with a VA?
Well, one thing that I have seen fairly often is that people think, okay, I'll get a VA and then it's all on them. I don't have to think about this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that might be the case after you've been working together for a while. I mean, I've got clients that I've had for a number of years, and I have ongoing things that I do, and I just do them. And, you know, they don't have to monitor it. I know what I need to do. They still need to feed me the stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I know what to do with it. And, you know, we have a great process. But
mm-hmm.
I've also had other clients that came to me, and they said, well, this is what I want, and I start working on it, and then I would email them because I run into a question, or maybe I've done it, and I say, okay, is this right, you know, before I move on to the next phase, and then I wait and wait and wait. Because, you know, they figure, well, I'm too busy to do this, that's why I've got you. Well, they have to either be available to give that feedback, or they have to let go of control and say, okay, Janet, you're the expert. Whatever you think, I will go with that. We can always, depending what it is, you know, we can always go back and modify it later, but let's just get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, the project's left hanging, I'm left hanging, and they're left feeling unsatisfied, like, well, I've hired a VA, and, you know, what was the good of that? Nothing's getting
mm-hmm.
done. So that's one huge mistake.
That they just don't get back in time.
Right. They're forgetting that they still have to put in some time into it, into the, you know, keeping the communication flow going. If they want to give the final stamp of approval on stuff, then they need to be available to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
In order
yeah, it's
for
one
their
of those things I think that... I'm sorry, I cut you up. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying in order for the stuff to get completed, they have to be prepared to look at it at some point.
Yeah, I think that in my experience, I think you get a little bit better at that than others. I mean, I've used VAs for many, many different things. I've used them for kind of redundant tasks in my business, like posting blog posts and tweets and setting up things. You know, I have certain processes, and then I also have used them very successfully for projects like website builds and program builds, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I help my clients with is to distinguish the type of work that they want and almost create a job description or task description of what you want done. And I think that is really helpful for finding the right resource.
Absolutely. All VAs are not the same. Not
right.
only, you know, not only do they have different skill levels, but some, if they're really tech savvy, maybe they've never done it before, but they'll pick it up just like that.
Right.
Whereas,
right.
you know, where someone else might say, oh, I'll do it, but they'll struggle with it, and you end up paying them for a whole lot of time that it took them to do, that someone else might have done it much more quickly and
yeah.
end up being cheaper, even if they have a higher hourly rate.
Yeah,
so,
and that's
you know,
true. How do entrepreneurs go about assessing that, you know, how best to work with a VA?
It's really important to not to rush into a relationship with a VA, but to sit down and talk, whether it's on the phone or even if it's a lot of emails back and forth, but make sure that you both understand one another. Communication style, like how, if let's, you know, let's say you've asked me to do a certain project, and I will admit, I don't always remember to ask all the questions I should, but ideally, if I'm taking on something from you, then I should ask you, if I run into a question, how would you like me to call, you know, get in touch? Should I send you an email? Would you prefer a phone call? Would you rather I save up all the questions and then schedule a longer phone call? Like, what's your preference? And make sure that you and the VA have the same kind of ideas as far as what works, because there are some who won't do phone calls at all. Maybe, you know, they've got small kids at home, so they're working from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Well, you probably don't want to schedule a phone call then. So, you know, you have to make sure that you're compatible in terms of communication style and expectations.
Those are really good things.
And, you know, when people on either end of the relationship make assumptions, you know, there's apt to be some breakdowns there. And sometimes they can be worked out and sometimes they can't, just like any relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so in terms of let's take a look at it from another vantage point. I know when I first started, I was trying to get help from friends who weren't set up as businesses, they weren't set up as VAs, but it was certainly cheaper for me to pay somebody $10 an hour to help me do something than it was to think about everything I didn't know about hiring someone else. Because, you know, A, I didn't know how to hire. I didn't know if I could afford it. I didn't know what it was going to cost me. I didn't have it budgeted. I had no idea to spec. What are some things, if a person in my program is in that place, what are some things that you would suggest they do first?
I would be very, very cautious about going to a friend for help. I know so many people who have, you know, for example, they had a friend build their website, or a relative. And when the time comes to do something to that website, the person, you know, maybe they did it because they were out of work and they had lots of free time, and now they've got a job and they're, you know, they're not available or not interested. So, you know, that's one of the disadvantages. The other thing that people have reported to me, you know, say, oh, well, I used to get a friend to do this, is because it was not their business, it wasn't their livelihood, it was just something they were doing on the side, they didn't treat it as a priority. So they would do it when they got around to it. So,
that's huge.
You know, so not only, yeah, I mean, that's bad for your business, but it could also be bad for your friendship. Is it worth risking friendship to save a few dollars?
So I definitely have run into a couple of those things, and I think, you know, that really brings out the point of accountability. Do you have any, like, questions that you typically ask that you would suggest, you know, either entrepreneurs ask or that they find out about before they hire somebody in terms of accountability? What would those questions be?
I think probably one of the things would be about turnaround time. You know, like ask them to say, how long will this take, or can you have this done for me by the end of the week? Don't use phrases like as soon as possible, because that is kind of subjective. You might, to you, as soon as possible means drop everything you're doing and do it. The person hearing it might think that means as soon as I have time, which could
right.
be 2 weeks from now. So you have
oh, that's
to be clear. Don't,
that's perfect.
You know, if it's urgent, say it's urgent. But even then, say, I need it done by the end of the week because there's an ad going out this weekend and this needs to be on my website. Or, you know, be really specific. The more your VA understands your needs and your business, the better a supporter they can be.
Yeah,
and they might
yeah,
have
I just,
another idea.
Yeah, I just had this happen with one of my VAs, and same thing. I used ASAP, and I meant by end of day, and, you know, I usually never, I never, ever have those kinds of deadlines with my VA. We usually have, you know, plenty of time and a couple of days, and she's very responsive, but this was like one of those emergency things for my merchant account. And, you know, my merchant account got in touch with me and said, you have to change this, have to change this. So it was just one of those things, and I used that dreaded term, ASAP, and, of course, we're not used to working that way, and she thought, you know, it didn't even occur to her that it was, you know, by end of business day. I should have said, if you can't
right.
do it, let me know, but it was, I love my VA. She's wonderful. I would never, you know,
yeah.
never worry about anything like that. So it was, you know, my fault. And the one thing that I also talk with entrepreneurs about, or mompreneurs specifically, is, you know, you really do have to take ownership for a lot of the communication because it's on you.
Right, right.
You
mean,
know, your
it
VA by nature.
Street?
Sorry?
No, it is a two-way street, but ultimately, yeah, it's, you know, you do have to do your part. Both people have to make sure that they communicate enough, check
yeah.
in, and be as clear as possible.
Yeah. So do you know much about the difference between, say, your services that you offer through the Horseshoe Virtual Assistance Group, the Golden Horseshoe Virtual Assistance Group, versus something like Odesk or Elance or Fiverr? Can you talk about that a little bit and, you know, some of the good or bad things?
Sure. I don't have a lot of experience with those types of websites myself, but my understanding is if you have a one-time project that requires, you know, a special level of technical expertise, you could go to one of those sites and you can get it done probably well, quite inexpensively. But if what you need is something that's going to require more a different type of skill, like writing skill, if you need somebody to proofread your website copy or you know, something like that, you're better to go with a VA from your own part of the world, shall we say, that knows your language well, that's going to be able to communicate well with you as well as, you know, as far as the work they're producing. And like I may be wrong, but I think if you hire someone through something like Odesk, I don't think that you have, I think it's all done electronically. I don't think you would have the opportunity to sit down and have a phone conversation and discuss your needs. I could be wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
Like I said,
it's
I haven't
true.
Used them. It's true. That's what I thought. So,
yeah.
So if you wanted a long-term relationship, somebody to be part of your, you know, your business team on a long-term, I don't think that would be a good way to go. You're better to go with, I was going to say North American, but I'm sure not all your listeners are in North America, but somebody who knows your culture and your language inside out the same way that you do. Somebody who is like you, only not you.
Yeah, right.
They've got
yeah.
maybe the skills you don't have or just the time that you don't have to look after things.
Yeah, I have a little form that I use on some of my online learning modules with my coaching clients. And the form basically does a little bit of a task analysis, job analysis, and then it breaks out technical and performance skills necessary to do the job you want. And it's very helpful just for people to analyze that work. And one of the things that I talk about is, you know, services with a VA are – when you're hiring a VA who may be more per hour, you're hiring kind of like a business ally, you know, a strategic
yes.
helper in your business. And they really can help you think things through and help you problem solve. And, you know, I'm building out a platform for a membership community, and it's been really helpful to be able to talk that through with a couple of people on my virtual team who, you know, who have some experience, and, you know, paying them for their time and their expertise is so worth it for me because I don't know, but that's very different than what I would probably term like a transaction. And one of the things that I have been successful hiring through the online services is something like transcription services, because you know, it's very simple. It's a start to finish. I know exactly how, you know, I know exactly how long it's going to take and what's going to be necessary. And I can hire that transaction support. And that's a distinction that I like to make. And, you know, I've had success on different ones, but you're exactly right about the communication piece with the online platforms. And I think it's really, really helpful with those online platforms if you're going to use them that you get a recommendation from somebody who's already used them because you just never know what you're going to get. You got everybody in the world posting stuff and, you know, read the feedback.
Well, I know that sometimes my colleagues will come in, you know, and they'll say, I was looking on, you know, one of these sites and people are offering to do stuff for like $5 an hour or whatever. And they say, how can I compete with that? I say, well, you're not competing with that.
Right.
Because what you have to offer, you're offering a lot more than just an hour of your time. You have, you know, 20 years as an executive assistant. You know business. You can do so much more for them than just simply the task they're asking for.
Yeah.
And if
yeah,
they're,
and I,
you know, if, you know, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just interrupt, and it's hard to do virtually. I apologize. You have five kids. It's a terrible habit. I apologize.
No, I was just saying. No, I forgot what I was going to say. But oh wow, let's just move on. I forgot.
I'm so sorry, Janet. It's totally
That's
my
okay.
fault.
No, it's
I had somebody chat in here, and there's my friend Renee Health Nut, who is a faithful follower of our Managing Mompreneur Mayhem show. Renee asked the question, and of course my screen just went blank, how do you know if you have a good VA or not?
Well, it's, do you mean in the, like before you've hired them or once you've started working with them? Can you be more specific?
I think it's two-part because she also asks, what should we look for? So what makes a good VA possibly, and what should we look for?
Okay. Well, there's a few things that you want to look into or ask about when you're choosing your VA. First of all, if you've got specific projects or tasks in mind, you know, find out if they have experience with that, if it's a a particular online service or a software program or, a certain type of project, like setting up a virtual event, for example. Find out if they have experience. That's not a yes, okay, you don't have experience, I'm moving on, because there are other factors that you want to consider, but it's definitely important to know whether they've ever done that before, if it's a specific need that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Find out if they haven't done it, find out what they have done, because so many skills are transferable, especially, when it comes to technology. If somebody has used two or three different shopping cart programs, for example, but not yours, chances are they'll be able to learn it quickly because there will be a lot of overlap. But you want to make sure and ask that, because maybe they already say, no, I've already learned three, I don't want to learn another one.
Mm-hmm.
But I can give you the name of someone else. So, it's really good to explore these things. I've had people come to me and said, and hired me and paid me a chunk of, money up front, and then they changed what they wanted. And they come back and they say, okay, I don't want that now, I want you to do this. And I'm like, but I don't want to do that. I would never agree to do that. It just causes a lot of confusion and stuff. So,
Yeah. So it's very good to look for past experience and transferable experience, and then desire to do it, right?
Right. Absolutely. So,
what else should people look for in a good VA?
Okay. Look for recommendations. Look on their LinkedIn profile and not just the endorsements, because I think a lot of people just kind of randomly click on things because LinkedIn suggests it, but the ones that people have taken the time to write, see what kind of recommendations they have from other clients or past employers. Again, the communication style is huge. And that's why a phone call is good. Even if you expect, I don't want ongoing phone calls, that doesn't suit my work style, my lifestyle. If you can manage to have a half hour phone call at least, just at the front, to kind of get to know each other, see whether there's a rapport there.
Now, is that something that typically a VA would have as part of their kind of sales closing process?
I don't know. I think probably most VAs would offer a telephone consultation at some point. I always offer it right up front. Like if somebody emails me and says, I'm interested in your services, how can you help me? I will offer the phone call. And sometimes they, just doesn't suit. Maybe they have a full-time job and they're only available during off hours when I prefer not to be working. And so then we'll have some lengthy emails to explore their needs and how I can help them. But the phone calls, sometimes when you talk to somebody, you just get a different sense of who they are than just from an email.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes you just click with people, and you don't always do that online. So it's possible. Definitely possible. I think social media has it's kind of an in-between thing because it's a little more casual. Even if people are using it on a business level, it's more casual than an email. So you kind of get a little bit more sense for their
talk
and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And how, just a feel for how you guys interact.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah, that being said, I'm curious if you have any particular, you've talked a lot about communication style and, if you have a good rapport with people and so forth, but do you recommend any special tools or communication platforms that have worked well or that you currently use with your clients that entrepreneurs should maybe think about looking into?
Well, I tend to keep it simple. There are a lot of like collaboration tools out there, things like Basecamp and I can't even remember all the names. There's a lot of them. I don't actually use any of those. And one reason is that some of my clients aren't that tech savvy. So to introduce another tool is just it's a barrier. It's better just to, you know, communicate directly. But what I do use for keeping track of things where we can both look at is simply Google Drive. I'll have a spreadsheet with a list of, you know, maybe I'm handling their blog schedule. So it'll be a list of dates, what the topics are, you know, whether I've received their post from them or what stage it's at, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe it's a list of things that I'm waiting for from them to get back to me on.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can be always updated rather than, you know, they go to their email, well, which is the most recent one and things like that. So it's simple because most people have access to it. They don't have to learn another tool. They don't have to have another login. So that's why I have chosen that one. Plus it's free.
Mm-hmm.
Free is good.
Yeah, free is awesome. Yeah, I use a combination of Google Drive, as well as I'm pretty much a convert to Asana, especially for project management. When I was building out my website, for instance, Asana, again, is free, and it links up through Google, and it messages you through Google, so it makes it real easy. But again, you're so right about if you are just starting out as a mompreneur or in the stages where you don't have a lot of technical skills, I definitely can see that the technology can be a barrier, and sometimes it's just easier to work with what you know. I mean, it's certainly easier to work with what you know.
Right.
Yeah. So what can people expect, entrepreneurs who are thinking about it? You know, a lot of times people come to me when they're stressed out with their time. When you get in touch with someone or they seek you out and seek your services out, what are some of the first things that you set up for success with them? How do you get started?
Generally, I'll just sort of ask them to sort of for a broad list, everything that's sort of in on the back burner that they're just not getting to. And in the upcoming things, like just sort of a brainstorming, brain dump.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a list of everything that you would like to get off your list. And then I will go through it. And, of course, you know, are there any that are a priority? And if there's something they identify as a priority, that's where I'm going to start. But I will look at that list, and then I will say, well, okay, for this, I can do this. I recommend this particular tool or this particular strategy, whatever, but just sort of group it up into things and then other stuff like, okay, these are things I can't do, but I know somebody who can. I can refer it or I can bring them onto the team, whatever. But just sort of organize all of that information in a way that they can look at it and say, okay, yes, let's do that. Then let's look at the other stuff. Just, you know, to kind of isolate what's really important right now. Because that's what happens. Even myself, you know, I reach points where I just think, I've got so much going on, I don't know what to do. But once you write it down and prioritize it, it's not really that bad. Like, this needs to be done this month. The other stuff can be done, you know, once that's done, then choose the next priority. So that's sort of, I take the same approach if I'm helping a client to get control of their workload. And I'm doing mostly stuff related to online marketing. So that's a little bit different than somebody who's doing stuff like calendar management and, you know, day-to-day stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you work with a team?
Not per se. I know I'm more than just me, but I'm not a multi-VA team. There are some businesses out there, quite a number of them. My husband works with me, and I have another VA that's been part of my team. She's a subcontractor, and she's been part of my team for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps. It allows me to give better support to my clients because there's only so many hours in the week. So instead of waiting till I have time, I can pass them on to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I do have, because of the VA group that I run, I have access to a lot of other VAs. So if somebody needs a service that isn't my area of expertise or something that I'm interested in doing, then I've got people that I can either bring in or refer to as needed.
Mm-hmm. I have something that I'd love you to troubleshoot with me as an example, because I think sometimes people are, it's still not concrete for them what they can use a VA for. So maybe,
sure.
why don't you share with us some of the typical kinds of tasks that you do for clients, like client A, client B, client C. Would you mind sharing some of that for us, kind of as a case study?
Okay, sure. I have one client that does a weekly newsletter using MailChimp. So, it's all set up already, but I did get her set, signed up for MailChimp, designed the template, brought in her mailing list from the service she was using before, and it goes out every Monday. So on Monday, so yesterday, for example, I sat down, I looked at the topic that she gave me for that issue and the information that she wanted in it. I put it all into the template, and then I send her a test. And before Friday, she will look at it and email me back either it's good to go or please change this and this. And then I go back into MailChimp, I make those changes, schedule it to go out on Monday morning, and send her another test. And occasionally, there will be other last-minute things that she wants changed, and she will go in and do that herself over the weekend. But it's already scheduled, so all she has to do is pause it, make a change, and then, you know, just click unpause, and it's good to go. So that's
an example of an ongoing. That's like a process procedure, and you guys communicate via email and testing, and you already have the kind of workflow worked out. And she has you as a priority so that you don't send it on Friday and she doesn't respond. She gives you your feedback and you're good to go, and then you stage it and set it and it's done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. And there's like a planning piece, so she's planned it all out ahead of time and then you basically implement.
That's right. And then let's say I haven't, I mean, she's pretty organized, so I have them many weeks ahead of time. But if I notice, like, well, let's say I went to do it and I found, like, I was missing some of the information, then, you know, I would let her know as soon as I noticed, you know, ideally not the day I'm working on it, but, you know, and then she would get back to me because it's important to her that it go out every week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With something like that, just because I know people always ask, can you give us a ballpark of how many hours that takes monthly, or a budgeted figure that would make sense for an entrepreneur to think about?
Well, that is tough because I do a lot of other things for her as well. But probably because it's a finely tuned process, it probably only takes about an hour a week. It took longer at first as we kind of tweaked the template and, you know, changed things around. But I would say it normally takes about an hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want to talk money. because that's too well defined.
And sometimes it changes. If people are going to download this in the future, we never know, right? Our rates can change.
Exactly.
But that's very helpful.
I don't really want to say specific numbers. But.
No problem. Yeah, that's fine. So if somebody is working on a newsletter staging and they're doing it once every week or once every month, and a newsletter is about the whole process of testing and putting it in and proofing and you know, retesting again and staging, you think it's about an hour for that?
Well, you know what?
Once it's set up.
I think this one's an hour because it's every week. So it's because it's very routine. It would probably take longer if it was once a month because your brain, you know, so many other things happen in between. And if you do it only quarterly, because some people do that, it's almost like, you know, it could take twice as long because it's not a something that you could just do in your sleep kind of thing. So I didn't want to give the impression that a newsletter will take an hour, but because this is one that we've got it really fine-tuned and because it's so regular that it's an hour. But, you know, it depends on how long the newsletter is and how complicated the template is. If there's a lot of sidebar stuff and things like that, the more intricate it is and more detailed, the longer it's going to take to put together.
Yeah, and I think as time slips in between, it becomes more of a project rather than a task, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, okay, how did we do this last time? And, you know, I mean, taking good notes helps to have documented procedures.
Yeah.
But, you know, doing something regularly also helps because you just have a process that you do.
Yeah. And so I just want to stick with this case study for a minute because I think it's really, really helpful for people to hear kind of the live thing. You just shared something that I would like to dig into, and then maybe we can go to another case study idea. You said documented procedures.
Yes.
So how do you suggest we approach that particular thing? I mean, I have a whole process I use with my my people, but I would love to learn from you about how you counsel your clients to document the procedures.
Okay. Well, usually when they come to me, it's either something they have been doing and they don't want to do it anymore, or something that they haven't been doing. So if they've been doing it and they want me to take it over, I would ask them, okay, check it out what you do so I'll know what you do and I can do it the same way, step by step. I'm a step-by-step person. Like in Myers-Briggs, I'm an ISTJ. I like systems and I like step-by-step rather than being big picture. I like little details. So that's how
you and I are almost exactly opposites. It's hysterical.
Is that right?
I am an ENFJ.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is great. That's the best kind of working relationship because we kind of that's balance if we can work
right
through the conflict of that, right?
Yeah. Yes. So, but let's say somebody has never done a newsletter and they come to me and they ask me to do it. But then they want, you know, they say, okay, I need you to send me instructions in case something happens to you or something like that. Then, I would tend to do it step by step, sometimes screenshots if it's not really obvious.
Okay.
That doesn't happen too often. Mostly I just do it for my own internal use.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if I want to pass something on to someone on my team, then I want to be able to pass it on to them rather than have them sitting there taking longer because they're figuring it out the long way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you do the documenting, it's either something that they have done and then you basically take their lead.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they haven't done it, do you document the procedure for them?
Usually, only if they ask. I mean, it depends what it is. But, you know, usually I don't, to be honest, unless they ask. Because in most cases, my clients anyway, I don't know if this is general, but they don't want to do it. They don't want to know how to do it. They just want it done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have done it. There have been times where the client and I have parted ways for one reason or another, and then I would provide them with okay, this is what I've been doing, and, you know, a list and as much detail as might be needed so that they can take it over themselves or pass it on to someone else.
What would you suggest? There's another person who chatted in on the chat board here. She says, it's Renee, actually. What if someone such as me, yes, I will be the guinea pig, she says, I don't know what I don't know. I don't really know what a VA could do for me to make my business easier to run.
Well, that's a really good question. What I would suggest is that for the next week, you have a pad of paper and a pen beside you, and every time you do something that you don't like doing or that you find too time-consuming or too challenging that you'd rather not do it, write it on your list. Or if something comes to mind that you think, oh, I would love to have X, Y, Z, like, write it on the list. Just make a whole list of stuff. And then you've kind of got some ideas as far as what types of things you might be able to delegate.
That's a great idea. So kind of a love to do, love to have done, and hate to do.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, great. And so anything, yeah, she says that's a good suggestion to write it down, that things that are also time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. Okay, I'm going to go back to my questions here and see. We were going to talk about another kind of case study. So you do something like newsletter setup and staging. And what's something else as a VA that is a common case study example you could share?
Well, another thing that I do is help people with their blogs. So what some clients do is, okay, I'll use a specific example. She just kind of drafts something really rough and sends it to me with some pictures, and I will wordsmith it, is the word she uses. So I'll fix it up, make it flow nicely, make it readable and engaging, maybe add a call to action, and then take that and the pictures and get it all formatted properly and get it up on her blog. So she just sort of comes up with the rough outline, and I flesh it out and make it pretty and get it out there.
So you really do a lot of, so here's another great example, Janet, of the kind of skills differentials that are out there in terms of virtual assistants. You know, some people are very, very good at just implementing and probably don't have writing skills, but you sound like you have copywriting skills, and that's part of your unique offer.
Right. I don't think of myself as a copywriter, but I guess it's pretty close to that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just taking basically rough outlines and really perfecting it, that's great. You know, I ask my person who supports me on my blogs and tweets to proof it, but I pretty much write. She does post some tips for me out of my previous blogs, and she is responsible for that, and then I just approve. But my blogs, I pretty much write and ask her to just proof. But that's great. I mean, I think that those are those distinctions when we're looking at VAs about what you need. Because I know I have clients who say, I'm stuck with writing. I think I'm a terrible writer, or I've been told I'm a terrible writer, or I'm intimidated to write, but I have all this information. So if that's you and you're listening, you need to call Janet and see how she can help you, because her skill set is probably the one that will help you transition into getting that stuff done.
Right.
Yeah, my Renee wrote in, I would love to have someone help me with calls to action that are effective. Renee, it sounds to me like you need to give Janet a call. How can she get in touch with you, Janet?
Well, she can go to my website, organizedassistant.com. I have a contact form on there, and she can just fill that out. My phone number is on there as well. And it might change, so I'm not going to put it on the recording, if that's okay.
Okay, no problem. No problem. I just put it up on the chat board, too, organizedassistant.com. Okay, so That is awesome. I hope that that works out for both of you. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so blogging, you specialize in blogging and WordPress. Why don't you give us a case study of how you can help somebody in the website piece of their business?
Okay. I do a lot of creating a WordPress site, so fairly self-explanatory, you know, installing WordPress and putting up a theme, customizing it. But I also, I get people contact me who they've heard, oh, WordPress is so easy, you can do it yourself. And so they get to a certain point and then they're stuck because it is easy to, if you don't have something really particular in mind that you want it to look like. So they go out there, they might even spend money on a theme, and then it doesn't look the way it did on the, you know, in the demo site. And they, you know, how can I make it look like this? Or I hate the font, how can I change the font and stuff like that. So they'll come to me and I'll go in and tweak that template or that theme for them to make it look the way they want.
Okay, great. So you can go in and work with themes and so forth. And, you know, there are so many advanced themes now out there in the WordPress world.
There are. And I don't touch all of them because some of them are just too complicated. In fact, I've just been working with somebody who bought a theme, and I did work to make it look the way she wanted. And she said, you know what, I think I have to start over again. So we've ended up replacing the theme she bought with a different one, which I'm now customizing to look more like the first one, but a little more functional. So, sometimes they're just not worth fighting with. I always, if somebody comes to me and they haven't already got a theme, I always give advice to as far as which themes I recommend. Because I personally would prefer to work with one that I know inside out and backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, easier for me, and I'm going to be able to do a better job than if I'm banging my head on the desk every 5 minutes.
Yeah. So one of the things that happens, I think, out there, you know, there's so many free conference calls, and this person, this marketing guru is telling you to do this, and this marketing person is telling you to do this, and, oh, you have to have this, and you have to have this. How do you handle these entrepreneurs that come to you with all these, oh, will you put this plug-in on my site? Will you do this? Will you do this? How is it best for entrepreneurs to self-manage those inputs? It just seems like we're constantly inundated.
I don't get a lot of people asking for that sort of thing. They, you know, not specifically where they've been told, oh, you need this plug-in or that plug-in. I mean, sometimes they've gone ahead and bought it and they've asked me to set it up, but I can only go so far if it's something I don't really understand. And depending what it is, I'm not saying I can't learn, but a lot of times it's like the themes. It's sort of like, okay, it's not magic. You don't just turn it on and all of a sudden you've got a sales page. You still have to write your content. You still have to, you know, decide what you want it to look like and things like that. So I always like it better if they come to me first and say, okay, this is what I'm trying to achieve, and I understand that, you know, this plugin will do that. Have you used it? And I can look at it and say, I haven't, but it looks good. Let's go for it. Or I haven't, but I know another way to do that. So do you want to try that? You know, it might save them from buying something that they don't actually need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not all plugins are fee-based ones. One of the things that I know that people in my mastermind group ask about quite a lot is the whole social media plugin.
Right.
Do you have any preferences on those or suggestions about using something like, you know, I know for a long time the tradition was to use that CAPTCHA code or whatever that was on websites, and now there's plugins that make it so much easier to engage with people.
Right, right. Yeah, I really like the Comment Love plugin for commenting, because there's just does so much. It helps filter out the spam. People can, when you reply to their comment, they get an email back. They can get a link, you know, to their most recent post. Like, it's just, it does so much. And you know, so that's one that I really like. As far as, like, the social sharing at the bottom of the blog, there are so many, and I have tried a lot. The one that I find that actually works well, but even it isn't perfect, is, you know what, I can't think of what it's called. I have to go to my blog and take a look. It's called Add This. And it's got all of the networks in it. It does Pinterest, which some of them don't. But it doesn't produce like a list of 20 of them at the bottom. It's got the four most recently used ones. And I don't know if that's the ones I've used or the ones that people maybe sometimes, and then you hit the plus sign and it shows you a bunch more that you can choose from. And it, you know, includes things like Buffer and, you know, it's not just the Twitter, Facebook type things. So it gives people a lot of options without cluttering up everything.
So you suggest Comment Love specifically. I'm looking at your site right now too, and I see Facebook, Twitter, email, Pinterest, and then the looks like the plus thing. Oh, that's more, right?
Right.
LinkedIn and so forth.
Right.
And this is generated from the plugin called what?
It's called Add This.
Add This.
Add This. All one word. I think there's another one that's called Add This that's two words that's made by somebody else. It's just to confuse things.
And is this a pay one or is this a freebie?
This is a freebie. And I think there is. I think there's an upgrade available, but I haven't signed up for it if there is. And it works.
Great.
Change the look. Like if somebody says, oh, I don't want big buttons like that, you can do small buttons. It's pretty flexible.
Yeah. So if anybody is listening and wants to take a look at this, remember, Janet's site is organizedassistant.com, and you can take a look at that social sharing plugin on her site with her organizing blog and so forth. So you do something really exciting that I want to share with people who are listening too. And sometimes I actually blog here. I'm included in your list of experts, but you do a monthly organizers blog carnival and feature, you know, a lot of bloggers in the field of professional organizing. So if anybody is interested in following great organizing ideas from the gurus in the world of organizing, you should definitely follow Janet on organizedassistant.com, because every month she has this fantastic roll-up of, I don't know, today it looks like you have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, like, you know, up to 20 different...
20.
It is 20 particularly? Okay, so it's 20 different experts on, you know, this one that I'm looking at right now is morning routines with some hot guy in a coffee cup in a metropolitan rooftop. Not bad, I'd say. Not a bad morning routine.
Oh, I'm not starting my day like that.
Sorry, Jen. Oh. Okay, so I think we have someone who'd like to join us. Renee, are you there?
I am here. Hello. I am. I've been listening. It was such an interesting conversation. Really awesome.
Well, great. I'm glad. Thanks. Are you thinking about how to use a VA for your business, Renee?
Right now, mine is still small. And actually, it's pretty manageable. On its own right now, which is really good. But as it gets bigger, most likely I will probably be doing that. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's great information. And, you know, I'll look up Janet definitely when it does expand.
One of the things that I know is really helpful is that it's almost, if you wait until you need it, it's almost too late. You know, I mean, of course, you're going to get busier and busier and busier, and the things that start to get left behind are things that are really good to you know, focus on to hire a VA. But if you are, if you're avoiding things, particularly that would be really helpful to your business, like blogging regularly and SEO and so forth, those are some things that you won't necessarily feel that as pain. You just might feel that as incomplete right now.
Right. Yeah. The other thing is finances. So.
Yeah. Right. Well,
that,
of course.
That's the other
know.
Thing. So, you know, it's only been going for about a year now, and so it's still in somewhat of the beginning stages, and you know, word of mouth and marketing it and everything else has really helped it to expand. But my business is actually the sponsor today. And it's a little bit different from most of the mompreneur businesses, and I can tell you a little bit about it. I'm the founder of Angelic Comfort, and I have many years of experience and expertise, and it comes from really many lifetimes. And I'm an intuitive empath, clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairescent, and clairtangency medium, a channeler, a healer, and an ordained minister. I walk and talk with the other side daily. So my site is very spiritual. I give readings where I listen to the guides and the angels and spirit. And I also do energy healing with people. I also do write blogs and do post card pulls when...
Renee, we lost you. I can't hear you anymore.
You seriously can't hear me?
You just dropped out.
Did I really?
You completely went dead.
Well, it must be the other side.
It must be. I was like, wait a minute, seriously?
Well, why don't I start over?
Okay, go for it.
Actually, I'm the owner and founder of Angelic Comfort. I'm an intuitive empath and medium, a channeler, a healer, and an ordained minister. I walk and talk with the other side daily, and to me it's a slice of heaven. If you stop into Angelic Comfort, which is angeliccomfort.blogspot.com, you will find an array of different services there, anywhere from readings to spiritual guidance to energy healing work to workshops and also blogs and sometimes card pulls, and I also incorporate it into my show, Renee Live. So if anybody is seeking any of those, you work one-on-one with me, and it's actually very exciting. So I look forward to seeing and actually working with some new clients. I do have a regular clientele, and just stop in and check out the site. And the prices are very reasonable for every budget. So angeliccomfort.blogspot.com. And you'll find a whole array of services. And I also do have a gift shop that I'm working on putting the pictures back on because I'm revamping the website. But check it out. I'd love to work with anybody who's interested. And I just did a reading actually this past for a new client up north a couple hours away. I go up to visit my family, and I do readings up there in person too. And most of them are done over the phone, though, or the internet. But I do them in person. And the woman said to me, which I really was very humbled, she said, you know, she goes, I always thought Teresa Caputo was the best. She said, I was wrong. And I was very humbled and very honored to hear that. She cried the whole time. The whole hour that I was working with her, she was just in tears. And not only was it very healing for her, but it was very good for her to be able to communicate with somebody on the other side that she really wanted to. And he came to me, and I just described, I said, I have a male here, and so on and so forth, and going through. And she just lost it instantly. And it was her grandfather, who she had been wanting to hear from for 23 years. Since his passing, and it was just really interesting. So my business is a little bit different. It's not like I can really hire somebody to do a lot of my work.
Right.
So puts it kind of in a different classification, you know. And I love writing, so writing blogs and stuff. I you know, that's something that I like to do because I'm working on a book. So
Awesome.
Thank you. So it just all, my business isn't your typical stay-at-home business. And so I have to really be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, you know, and to hire somebody to do some of the virtual work is really almost impossible at this point. So not only, mm-hmm. you know, because it's just starting out, but because of the line of work that I do and, you know, a lot of the stuff that I write comes to me from spirit. It's not my own words. It's written
right.
through them. So,
well,
yeah.
You know, it's very interesting, Renee, because there are, you know, I think that that's one of those things as an entrepreneur, many of us are, you know, divinely led or spiritually led in our path, and that much of what we do is connected through us. And but the fact of the matter is, to get it out in the world, there are people who can help you do that, you know, create blog posts out of what you have to say, or, you know, just like Janet was saying, that she has somebody that she stages a newsletter for. So if these are areas that you're thinking about or that are being put aside or maybe stressing you out, I love Janet's idea of writing down the things that you'd love to have or things you hate to do. Your love-hate list. Your love-hate list.
The bills.
And the bills.
Paying the bills, you know. That,
yes.
It's every day life, some of the stuff I don't like to do, where when I do angelic comfort, it's like my playtime, really. You know, I
right.
enjoy it so much, and I'm helping people, you know,
yeah.
at a different level that, you know, it's the everyday stuff that...
Yeah.
Do I really have to, you know, so...
Well, a bookkeeper can help you with that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there are virtual assistants who do all those kinds of things. But I guess the fact is
That's right.
If the business is your thing and it needs to generate income, you know, it definitely needs TLC. And I know that there's a period of time in your business development where it feels a lot more like a cost than an investment.
Yeah. Yep. There are... yeah, that's where I'm at. You know, but
I get
like
it.
It's gradually getting there. You know, I do have my base clientele, and you know, this weekend I did end up with more because of this one client that was new that I had. And you know, I just strive every day to be the best and honest and upfront and just to help people, you know, and that's my thing. That's who I am, and so it's getting there. It just takes time. You know, there's so many that are out there in the field that are starting to do this. So, you know, it's you have to resonate with a person. You know, it's finding the right person that you feel that you can, you know, go to and who's going to resonate with you and your energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the whole thing. But I do have a whole team of volunteers who is, you know, pushing out the site and handing out cards, and they're really awesome. You know,
yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
People who really believe in what you in what you're doing, and it's great. I mean, it's a great place to start. And I think that what happens is at some point that will I think it shifts. And I think this is significant for specifically, you know, I say mompreneurs, because we have this period of time in our businesses where it is, you know, you hear it all the time, don't you, Renee? Is it a business or a hobby, right? And I think there's a period of time where it is a business, but it's not generating the money that we probably falsely thought it could from the start.
Right.
And there's an investment time, and I don't know whether this is significant to moms or whether this is significant to, you know, people who have a corporate, you know, paycheck and then move into business. But, you know, it's very common. Businesses all need business plans, and businesses all need start seed cash to get ready. And some of us feel like just because our business is virtual or consulting in nature or coaching or psychic channeling or reading, that because it's we don't have a brick and mortar front and rent and light bills and all those other things, that somehow it's going to be, you're going to be able to launch it flat.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, is that, like, you know, with my line of work, some people are actually scared with my line of work, you know, because whether it be for religious beliefs or what society has put upon them, anything like that. I mean, everybody's born with gifts, you know, and it's just how a person has developed them, or if you're meant to have them in this lifetime, you know. But there's all different sorts of beliefs, and there's the fear of the unknown. And that's what I think, you know, makes it different, you know, with my line of work. And it's something that, it got to the point where it's like, you know, I want to help people. And then people say, well, why do you charge for your services? Well, number one, this is my income, just like everybody else works. And number two, people don't understand the energy that's exerted. There's an energy exchange between you, the other side, and the client that you're working with.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that energy exchange can be very draining, you know, so it's not like, you know, where all the time, you know, it's an emergency case. So of course I do, you know, for free if it's an emergency, and I feel that it's a definite emergency, but, you know, especially with the energy work, but, you know, a lot of people don't understand why a lot of people who have these gifts are actually trying to make a business out of it, because it's not just, you know, it is time consuming. You know, it does take away from your family and, you know, the other things that you would be doing. So, you know, just like anybody works, they should be compensated with their time, you know. And so that's some things that, you know, it's just what different people believe, you know. I try to keep my rates reasonable compared to a lot of other people. You know, so that it is affordable.
Yeah, and I do believe that there's, you know, there's always space to create a model when you have a service like yours, which is your most valuable asset is your time and ability live to connect, right? So that is a fee-based service that needs to be your premium. But when you think about all the other things that you do, you know, it's important, I think, when you're putting your business plan together, to think about ways to leverage your unique skills and abilities and time, so that you're not constantly trading dollars for hours. And that's hard. And I said, Janet, you're still there, aren't you?
I'm still here.
Yeah, she's
here.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit to that whole process of, you know, how you know, and I'm asking you kind of to put on the entrepreneur's hat, because you are one. How do you know when you need help? What were the clues for you that you knew that you needed to think differently or expand, for instance, you know, getting a subcontractor in or creating your horseshoe group?
Okay. There's a few things that can happen. These aren't necessarily for me, but this is a list that I have, signs that it might be time for you to hire a VA.
Great.
And yes, some of these I definitely have experienced, but if you often have tasks left on your to-do list at the end of the week, especially if you find yourself carrying those same items over and over from one week to the next and they're just not getting done, maybe they don't need to be done, but maybe they do, and maybe it's worth paying someone else just to get them done. If you find yourself working evenings and weekends just to stay on top of things, most people would like to have a personal life too. Now, a big sign is if you started to turn away business because you don't have time to take on new clients, well, maybe you're spending too much time on things that you don't need to do. Maybe someone else can do those so you can do, you know, what you love to do, which is to work with your clients. If you want to make better use of technology, there's so much out there. You know, blogging, social media, autoresponders. Some of it's easy, some of it's not so easy. But a lot of times people don't even know, well, what should I be doing? What are the best tools to use to achieve what I want to? So instead of wasting a whole lot of time, of your precious time, researching it and maybe trying something, no, that's not it, what, maybe try something else. You know, talk to a VA, find out what they recommend, whether it's going to be long-term or if they can just get you set up with something and then hand it back to you to take over. If you know, your budget isn't going to allow you to work with a VA on a long-term basis, something like that. Because what might take you 10 hours, they've probably done it lots of times. They might be able to do it for you in a third of that time.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea, I'm sorry, Janet. I'm thinking specifically with the newslettering. I mean, a lot of my clients are avoiding doing newsletters with their group. They don't want to be a bother. They don't want to be in people's face. They don't want to be deleted. But if you shift that thought specifically to say, look, people are interested in you because they need what you have, and they really want to know what your expertise is, and they're very interested in if you can get yourself to be more more relevant to their needs and their pain, and then be consistent in how you approach them, something like newslettering, if you're putting off newslettering because you don't have a template or you don't know how to do it or you don't have MailChimp set up, which, I mean, it's a free service until your list is 2,000 people. So those are those are things that you could hire a VA for as a project, as an intervention, and get you started. And then, you know, if you have time that you're not staying up, you know, late at night or whatever, and you can do your weekly newsletter, then you can take that back. But those are some things that are great ideas to talk to a VA about. What else?
Can I just expand on that before I go to the next point?
Yeah.
And this is not me bragging, but it ties in with what you were talking about, expense versus investment.
Yes.
I had a client, I was doing her monthly newsletter, and she felt that she needed to save money. So she said, she was going to do it herself, or she was going to have a neighbor person do it cheaply. And only it didn't happen. She didn't do a newsletter for months and months. She was out shopping and ran into a former client, and she said she thought she had gone out of business because she stopped sending out the newsletter. Mm. She called me up and she said, that newsletter is so important. I didn't realize how important it is. And we started working together again, and we're still working together. Like, she thought she was saving money, but really what she was doing was cutting corners where she shouldn't have been.
Mm.
So she learned that the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, that's a great distinction.
So, I'll go back to my list now.
Yeah.
Another thing is, if you've ever sent out something that and you found out after that it had spelling or grammar mistakes, maybe it was maybe a newsletter or maybe an agreement or a proposal or something, and depending on what it is, those kind of things can make or break the deal, or, you know, just might send out the wrong message. Oh, this person is sloppy in the way that they, you know, send out stuff, so how can I not think they're going to be sloppy with whatever it is, service that you provide? So, you know, that's another thing that's a sign for you to hire someone else to help you. One thing for myself, I knew that it was time for me to hire a bookkeeper when I got a tax audit and found that I had made an error. It's a simple mistake. Anybody could have made it, but that was enough for me to realize, okay, I'm going to let someone else do this. because I've obviously got too much on my mind. So, you know, it wasn't a big deal. There was no fines or penalties or anything, but it shook me up and made me realize that I was trying to do too much myself.
Right. That's amazing. And that's also kind of a message, you know. Someone may see that and say, oh, boy, you know, poor me, that's a terrible thing. Or, gee, I need help.
Right. Right. So, in that particular case, I'm not just paying for someone's time to do it. I'm paying for peace of mind to know that it's being done by somebody who does this every day and they know what they're doing. So, the other thing I have on my list is, you know, just even if you have everything under control, if you have some great new ideas for your business but no time to implement them, then you can benefit from partnering with a virtual assistant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm writing them all down. And your best bet, you say, Janet, that it's definitely something that you need to, you know, take the first step on, because most virtual assistants are certainly not going to cold call you.
No. You know, I mean, most of the VAs that I know are they're people who are used to working in offices. Like, they're good at what they do, but they're not, like, business sales people. And one of the reasons that they like working virtually is because they're not extroverted. They don't want to put themselves out there. So it's kind of, you know, being able to work virtually, you have a website, you've got your social media, that's a way of putting yourself out there and feeling safe while you're doing it.
Yeah, and you know, was it you that did the blog post on how an introvert deals with a conference? Was that your blog post?
Yes, it was. Oh, I don't know. I don't think I wrote it. I think it was a guest post that I shared on. I have another blog called introvertretreat.com, and which I run, and it's sort of a side project. But somebody had offered that as a guest post, and I was like, yes, perfect.
I love that. I think that's such a great niche. You know, for people who are out there, Janet. I have a friend who has a site called videoforshypeople.com.
Oh.
You know, there's a huge amount of people in this social media realm that are introverted, and they're just too naturally intimidated by it, but they have so much to share and so much to give. So it's, you know, I feel like there's some bridge making that needs to happen from one side to the other, because extroverts have, of course, no problem at all blabbering away out there. So
yeah.
That's a wonderful list, and I'm gonna actually. Do you have that anywhere other than in your head, or is there a blog?
I have it in a Word document. I could. To you, if that would be helpful.
That would be great. That would be great.
I should put it on as a blog post, shouldn't I?
You should put it on as something, for sure. For sure. Let me ask you this. I'm going to put on the hat of the devil's advocate here. And I want to maybe ask you to reveal some of the negative pieces or the shadow side, which is, you know, what makes things not work with VAs? What are things to avoid, or what should we look out for as entrepreneurs?
I would be very cautious if you talk to a few VAs and one of them is considerably cheaper. I would be cautious, because if they are running a genuine business, they do have expenses. Just because it's a virtual business doesn't mean they don't have equipment to maintain, and they, you know, have to make an income. And so if somebody is offering to work really cheap, I would guess that either they're not very good at what they do, or they're not seriously in business. They're just trying to pick up some extra money, and you could come back to them in 2 months, and they're not interested in doing it anymore. Hmm. So that, to me, is a red flag. If somebody says, oh, I charge $15 an hour or something, and I go, are you kidding me? You know, how can you afford to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be, I would watch out for that. Or another thing is somebody who says, oh, I can do anything, because you can't do everything well. So if you need lots of different things done, like find out, as we've mentioned before, what is their experience with those specific programs or tasks, because, you know, maybe if you, there are different ways that VAs structure their business. Like, I have chosen to specialize in a few tasks because I found that working with technology, and there's new stuff coming out all the time, it's impossible for me to learn all of them and be good at them. So I've chosen to say, okay, I know these and I know them well.
Uh-huh.
And if you need something else, I would be happy to refer you to someone else. But so if somebody claims to be good at everything, I'd be really skeptical, because how can they have the time to learn and stay on top of all those different programs and systems? I would be really cautious about that.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. Those are the two that come to mind right away.
Okay, great. And what is it that would make an entrepreneur, again, on the devil's advocate side, what is it that would make an entrepreneur actually fail? What are some kind of bad things that entrepreneurs do that we should avoid?
In terms of working with a VA?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean? Or
yes.
Yeah. Okay. One thing, okay, I'll try and sort this out. We did mention some things, and you know, about not being clear with expectations and deadlines. That's a big one. Okay. That's a good question.
I know sometimes you've talked about personality styles and so forth. Is there anything that drives you crazy?
I thought of one. Is sometimes you might be not pleased with the work, but you let it go because it's easier than saying, I don't really like this because. But if you don't provide that honest feedback at the time it happens, they're going, if you just say that's fine, then they're going to think that's what your expectation is, and they will continue to produce at that same level. And you don't know, because you haven't said anything, they might even be thinking, well, that's what she wants, or that I think I could do better, but if that's good enough for her, that's what I'm going to do, because if I do more, it's going to cost her more. So this is what she wants.
Mm.
So it's better to, you know, don't be afraid to say, I really was hoping for something else. You know, even if it's like, this is fine, I'll use it this time, but next time, could we aim for something with a little more pizzazz or something that's more something?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, if they think that you're satisfied, they're not going to try and do anything different.
Mm-hmm. That's really important. And you know, in terms of delegating for entrepreneurs, you know, there is the task, but there's also the whole piece about accountability and responsibility and communication and authority. There's all kinds of segments of delegating that help you be more successful with other people when they really, it's more than just a task, you know, it's more like, gee, Jana, I would love for you to set this up for me, and my budget is whatever. And if you get to the end of the budget and you feel like it's not going to be enough, then I really need you to let me know, because I really have to, you know, stick to this, and we'll make changes accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot more helpful than just suddenly getting a bill or, oh, I've spent all this more time.
Right. Right. And, yeah, don't be afraid to, you know, it's okay. Keep in mind that a VA is a professional. They're a business owner. And as such, they don't generally like to be micromanaged. Uh-huh. But it is your dollar. So if you want to know why does it take this amount of time, or, you know, why does it cost this, but be prepared to listen to the answer. I had a client one time ask me, well, why did this newsletter take longer than that newsletter? And, you know, I explained, well, because you only gave me a very rough outline. I had to basically write it. That takes longer than when you say blah, 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 and I just have to clean it up. So, you know, it's up to her. How much, you know, does she want to take the time to write it and spend less, or, you know, just throw the ideas and spend more? But, you know, without having had that conversation, she could have just been not happy, and I wouldn't have really had a good understanding of what her needs and expectations were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes I've made the analogy before that many entrepreneurs are not detail people, right? They're big picture people. They do not focus on the finer details and the finite tasks at hand. And as such, as a bigger picture person, have a tendency to possibly underestimate the time it takes at the detail level to bring things to fruition.
Right.
And I know this is very true for me, that, you know, I will tend to think that things take probably half the time than they really do take when I first started. I know that that is true. And thank God, you know, I have spent time and have had created good relationships that we've been able to communicate through some of those missed expectations, but it had nothing to do with my VA and her abilities. It had to do with my underestimating length of time on task.
Right.
So how do you work with that characteristic or tendency with entrepreneurs to be successful?
Well, actually, I have just recently started to transition my pricing strategy so that if you came to me and said, this is what I want, I would say, this is what it will cost you, instead of saying it will cost you so many dollars per hour, because you don't know, is it going to take 2 hours or five?
Mm-hmm.
So I will, you know, based on my experience, how long it has taken me to do similar tasks in the past, I will say that's this much every time.
Mm-hmm.
If it takes me half an hour or if it takes me 2 hours, this is how much you're going to pay. And that way it's easier for the entrepreneur for budgeting purposes. They don't have to question, why did this one take longer than that one?
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for me because I can just do my best job without worrying that I'm going to go over the client's budget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
and that comes
with
time in the trenches too.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, because there was a long time where I would not have even wanted to guess how long, you know, how much I should charge for a certain thing, because, well, I don't know how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it took me a long time to come to that. I was resistant to it for a while, but I've been convinced to give it a shot.
And how's it working?
So far, so good.
Yeah, good. Well, I think a lot of times when I've hired different people for different jobs, my person who does all my web developing, all my web stuff for me, all my changes and updates, and did my whole what you do, Janet. Like, one of the things that I would constantly do with her, because makes a good rate per hour, you know, and that hour clicks away pretty quickly when you're building a website.
Yes,
so, you know, there were things that we've worked together now for 3 years or so, probably longer actually, but that I would always say to her, I would like this to be done, blah, 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 blah. And how long do you estimate that might take? And then she would let me know, and then I'd say, okay,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, and that's good, because even if they, you know, they can't say specifically, even if they say it's probably going to take 3 hours, at least then you know it's probably going to take three. You're not expecting it to take one.
Right.
You know, so
right.
There's no surprises. So, yeah, especially if it's something, maybe it's something you would like done if it's only going to take an hour. But if it's going to take four, it's not that important. So it's, you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
There's no problem in asking those questions.
Yeah, exactly. And I've learned that one the hard way, of course. So that's great advice. What are some things that you would suggest that entrepreneurs do not delegate to a VA?
Anything? Well, you know, it depends. But usually the most important things for you to do as an entrepreneur is your core business. Like whatever you have gotten into business to do, obviously that's what you want to do yourself. You don't want to delegate that. There's a lot of talk like social media. Like, can you delegate social media? Is that authentic? And, you know, the way... What I suggest is, okay, maybe you don't have time to sit down and log into the sites and post stuff, but it should be your ideas, your words. You know, maybe you have time to sit down with a Word document and type out 50 ideas, send that to your VA, and they can post it for you, but it's still you. But I wouldn't recommend necessarily just delegating for them to be you. Like even if they post stuff on your behalf, like maybe it's just general and doesn't have to be their words. You need to respond when people post on your wall or, you know, send you a tweet. You should be the one that's responding. Because
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, it's all about authenticity. And there's a lot of people out there that if they find out that somebody is doing that on your behalf, they're going to be blocking you right away. They're just
mm-hmm.
going to fail, you know.
Yes, yeah. And I think there's a difference between, I'm sorry, I do think there's a difference between getting help from a VA with blog posts and
mm-hmm.
and commenting or responding. You know, as I'm
yes.
on here on our show, I'm posting, you know, Janet's talking now about how to hire a VA successfully, and now she's talking about how to create newsletters, and now she's talking about, I mean, that's live stuff, right? Nobody can do that for me.
Right.
As we're talking on my, and I'm posting it on Facebook. So those are things that have to come from you. But, you know, when I do post a blog post and, I post on Tuesdays and Thursdays and they go live, that stuff is pre-staged and automated and so forth. And it's all set up. So I get help with that.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing I was trying to distinguish between things that are, you know, if they're announcement-y type things, then it really doesn't matter if you
mm-hmm.
do it or your VA. But if it's a conversation, the person you're conversing with has the right to know that it's you or not you that they're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested in any final words, Janet, or anything that you would like to share with the people, mompreneurs, or people who are in the startup phases of their business. Any final comments or words?
Well, obviously, I didn't prepare for that question. I think just, you know, as Renee was saying, when you're first starting out, you probably have the time to do everything yourself. And then you'll run into those situations that we talked about that might be fine for you to hire a VA. But, you know, keep those things in mind. Watch for those signs. And remember, when everything you're doing for your business, if you start to find a barrier that's keeping your business from growing, then that's, you know, just remember that there are people out there that can help you. No matter what part of your business you need help with, there is somebody out there that can help you with that. So don't stand in your own way by trying to do it all yourself.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you say, that you shared, look, if there is a situation, if you contact me and there's a situation that I'm not great at or I wouldn't do, I have all kinds of connections with people and referral systems that will help you. And I think as a kind of final word that if you know you need help, you need to ask.
Right.
And that's like the secret message here, that if you're strung out, stressed out, time starved, staying up late, not spending the time that you wanted with your kids or with your spouse or doing the things you want or putting exercise aside, those are probably pretty good signs that you might need some help in some way, and to create a boundary or a fence around your business operations and your personal life, and that's where a VA can help you. And somebody who knows the world of entrepreneurs is certainly willing to help troubleshoot that and work that through with you, like Janet. And you can find Janet at organizedassistant.com and sign up for, a getting to know you session with her in case you're interested.
That's right. I was just going to add on to what we were saying. Even, you know, if you're not at that point yet where you're ripping your hair out and working, 20-hour days, but you feel yourself, you can see it in the future, that's a really good time to set up a call, because if you wait until you're at the end of your rope and things are already falling apart, it's going to be a big challenge. But if you, ahead of time, before you need the help, talk to some different VAs, find out how they might be able to help you, then you've got that in mind so that, when something comes up, you can just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to call that person and get her to do it rather than just let it slide. And because in a lot of cases, I should say always, but sometimes there is a very clear cost benefit. If hiring a VA to organize a teleclass for you means that you can hold it and generate some income versus not having it, then that's going to pay for itself. Not everything is going to be that obvious, but just as an example. So don't wait till you need somebody, because then you don't have the time to really engage in those conversations and find out who you click with and who can do what for you.
That's excellent advice. And again, giving yourself permission to get the support you need is probably the thing that most mompreneurs struggle with most. The planning piece rather than the reacting piece in their business, They wait too long, and they wait too long to get the help that they need that would ease up a lot of pieces. And sometimes, that means that you need to budget a little bit differently in your business or come up with it, because once you get that support, it's amazing how different life feels. Well, thank you, Janet. I so much enjoyed having you on the show today, and I hope that the people who are listening and, if you're downloading this blog cast in the future, that if you have any questions or that you're really interested in following up with virtual assistants, that feel free to contact Janet at organizedassistant.com. If you are figuring out how best to document your procedures, whether or not you can delegate or growing your business and how to leverage, then please go to sanespaces.com and you can contact me on our Contact Us page. Both Jan and I are willing and ready to help you with your business issues. If you're closer to actually knowing what you need delegated, just sidestep Same Spaces and go right to Janet because she can get you where you need to be. And with that, Renee, are you on?
I am on.
Yay.
I am. And it was an excellent show, ladies.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And it was nice. It was a pleasure to meet you, Janet.
You too, Renee.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
It was. It was an excellent show. Definitely an excellent show. And we're ready to wrap it up?
Yes.
And, you know, I just want to say that you both had some excellent information. It was an awesome show. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for listening in to the Word of Mom Radio Network. And you have been listening to Hina Block with her guest, Janet Barclay. And this has been the broadcast of the Mompreneur, Managing Mompreneur Mayhem. So everybody have an awesome week, and we will see you all on Thursday for Dory's show, the Mompreneur Model. So take care, everybody, and have an awesome week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.